Hello, this is John Ivey from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the January 2011 issue of Boys Life magazine. And our first article is from The Hitching Rack. Pedro answers letters from readers. Page 2. Dear Pedro, for 5 years, Boys Life has meant more to me than just a magazine to skim through monthly. It has been first-class accompaniment to my growth as a reader, a scout, and a citizen. And that's from Benjamin Capitano in Ocala, Florida. That was a first-class letter, Benjamin. The boss has been really cranky today. This will certainly cheer him up. Dear Pedro, I've been reading your comics for about 8 years now, and I still get a laugh or two out of them. Tell the boss I think you're doing great work. From Jonathan Sousa in Alpharetta, Georgia. Thanks, Jonathan. And they make me hee-haw, too. Today's probably not the best time to remind the boss how fabulous I am. He's walking around looking like he's smelling something bad. Dear Pedro, when my troop goes camping, we have bags for trash, but nothing for recyclables. I think every troop should bring a recycling bag to campouts so that we all can help the environment. And that's from Hewitt Howarth in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Change begin with you, Hewitt. Take a recycling bag on your next campout. I even have one in my corral. Maybe that's what the boss is smelling and looking so sour about. Dear awesomely awesome Male Burrow, I am a newer scout, but I read Boys Life all the time, and I love the jokes. What is your favorite part of the magazine and about being a burrow? I can't wait until the next issue. Jacob Witt in Abbeville, South Carolina. Modesty should prevent me from saying that my wacky adventures rock, Jacob, but I guess it doesn't. The best part of my job is the chow. It sure isn't toting this heavy mailbag. Dear Pedro, every time I read Pee Wee Harris, I laugh like crazy, although I wouldn't want to have Pee Wee as my friend. That's from Will Borgonani in Duluth, Georgia. I think Pee Wee would be a blast to hang around, Will, but then I can relate to goofing up. Dear Pedro, I saw you at the Jamboree, but you weren't talking much. My dad says you were around when he was a Boy Scout. How old are you and your alfalfa milkshakes? That from Matthew Scotto in Howell, New Jersey. It's hard to talk with your mouth full, Matthew. I grazed my corral at the Jamboree down to the dirt. I came up with the brilliant alfalfa milkshake a few years back, and I'm a bit older than that. See you next month. You hold in your hand an important part of history, the first issue of the second century of Boys Life magazine. We have a lot of great stuff in store for you this year as we celebrate this big 100th birthday, including a spectacular March edition unlike anything we have ever done before. You won't want to miss that. Even before March rolls around, we have a few exciting new features I want to tell you about. Boys Life Wayback Machine. The new opener to our Heads Up section is a gateway to our brand new online archive of 100 years of great reading. Check it out at boyslife.org. Merit Badge Minute. Boys Life always has been a top resource for advancement in scouting. Now we make it even easier to get the information you need. Boys Life Workshop. Every month we'll give you a brand new project to test your skills and creativity. Don't worry, we still have all your favorites like Think and Grin, Scouts in Action, and the Best Outdoor Outings coverage around. So dive into the next 100 years of Boys Life, and don't forget to tell us what you think of the magazine. You can easily reach us at boyslife.org. And that's from Michael Goldman, Managing Editor. All right, let's go to our next article, Fast Facts. Bicycles, page 6. Did you know the penny farthing above left was the first riding machine to be called a bicycle? It was popular in the 1880s. They still make bikes like them today. And here's as a big picture on page 6 of a bicycle way back in the day. And here's another one. Although artist Leonardo da Vinci drew some rough sketches of something resembling a bike, German Carl von Drace patented the first successful kick-propelled two-wheeler in 1818. Americans use bicycles for 1% of the trips. The United States would save 462 million gallons of gasoline every year if that percentage increased to 1.5%. The longest tandem bike in the world carried 35 people. There are double the number of bicycles worldwide than the number of automobiles, about 1 billion. Wilbur and Orville Wright, better known for their flying machines, operated a bicycle repair shop in Dayton, Ohio. They used bicycles to conduct their first wind tunnel experiments. American John Howard, an Olympic cyclist, holds the world speed record. In 1985, he reached 152.2 miles per hour while cycling in a specially designed car's slipstream. And let's go to collecting, page 7. Band together. Collect, trade, and compete with battle bands. These stretchy bracelets double as game pieces. Wear the bands shaped like dragons, sharks, monsters, and more. Then grab your friends in a battle mat to make a game of it. Ages 6 and up. I collect bibs from cross-country races I participate in. I record my time on the back of each one. That's from Daniel Rosenfield in Plano, Texas. I collect old vinyl records. I have more than 500 albums. And that's from Alex Harling in Durham, New Hampshire. I collect bookmarks in different languages. And that's from Zafler Rida in Saudi Arabia. I collect old military food kits. I get them from my grandpa and friends who have served our country. And that from Hank Smiley in Portland, Oregon. I collect electric trains. I have about 10 trains and dozens of freight cars. And that's from John Tarn in Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. I collect newspapers from famous events. That's from Connor Gleason in Lake Forest, Illinois. I collect random keys. I have 428 and counting. And that's from Eugene Odenbrett in Cleveland Heights, Ohio. I collect microchips from sound-making greeting cards. And that's from Tyler France in North Royalton, Ohio. I collect ships in a bottle. And that's from Luke Garcio in Bethlehem, Connecticut. I collect springs from flashlights and pens. And that's from Andrew Pop in Anaheim, California. I collect marbles. I have all different colors and sizes. And that's from Simeon Jordan in Laquana Niguel, California. I collect license plates from different states. My favorite is from Arizona. And that's from Matt Rayner in Oakdale, Minnesota. I collect Snapple caps. My favorite says, cranberries are sorted for ripeness by bouncing them. And that's from Noah Webster in Bowie, Maryland. And finally, I collect fortune from inside fortune cookies. That from David Valdez in Hermitage, Tennessee. Now go to Heads Up, Reader's Page, page 8. My first scout camp, I was nervous, really nervous. I had traveled from almost 3 states away to go to my first scout camp in Utah's Uinta Mountains. Things looked bleak the first day. I got lost around camp, and I wasn't progressing with merit badges. Even the late-night bear stories kept me awake. Slowly, I adjusted to the setting. I started earning merit badges, and I had fun cooking camp food. I learned to maneuver a canoe, and soon I was challenging other boys to race. In a race against my cousin, I was almost halfway across the lake and in the lead when disaster struck. as my partner and I turned the canoe, we capsized and lost a paddle. We lost the race, and I went back to the tent a dripping wet mess. Some of the other boys laughed at me. The next morning, I got back in a canoe and started rowing. I felt relaxed. That's when I realized I needed to enjoy the scenery instead of focusing on things that weren't going my way. That's from Jameson Moody in El Paso, Texas. North of the border, I just came back from visiting Ottawa, the capital of Canada. I saw many cool places like Parliament, the Museum of Civilization, and the Royal Canadian Mint. At the Mint, we watched them make coins out of gold and silver. They also showed us the 2010 Olympic medals, which were made there. The coolest part was holding a 28-pound gold bar worth $500,000. It was about 1 foot long and 3 inches high. Gimping around. My first trip to Northern Tier was hard, but also a great experience. On the first day, the sole of my boot fell off during a portage through a marsh. I finished the day with a soleless boot. At first, even the guide worried about how I would finish the trek on a broken boot. At camp that night, we used a pocket tool to make 2 holes in the heel. Then we used twine to wrap around the holes and around the heel. I could get my foot back in the boot. Then I wrapped one more twine around the front. Even though it was burdensome to get my boot on in the morning, it worked for more than 95 miles and 60 portages. It also made a wonderful story. Sometimes the best memories come from overcoming obstacles. And that's from Kevin Kuhn in Dallas, Texas. Lost and found. And of course, it has a picture of a boot without a sole on it. Lost and found. Last summer, our troop went on a 6-day trip to California's Yosemite National Park. We hiked Yosemite Falls Trail, named after the tallest waterfall in North Carolina. We also went on a shorter hike to Taft Point. Although it was June, the trail was covered in snow due to the high altitude. With footprints everywhere, it was tough to decide which path to follow. On our way back from the lookout, our small patrol began hearing faint calls. We called back so they could find us on the trail. It was a lost group that consisted of 2 small boys, their father and grandfather. We offered them water and food. It was clear they'd been lost for a while. We led them back to the parking lot, much to the relief of the children's mother. Aside from their gratitude, we received the fulfillment of helping someone in need. Being a part of scouting has helped us develop the necessary skills to help in many different situations. And that's from Nicholas Elder in Louisville, Kentucky. Has anything exciting or funny happened to you lately? If you've had an adventure and you are under 18, write about it and send it to Reader's Page, Boys Life. S306, Post Office Box 152079, Irving, Texas 75015-2079. Or via the e-form at boyslife.org. You'll receive $25 if we print your submission. Next, wildlife at work, page 10. Did you know beavers build dams and make lodges or homes in the resulting pond? Beaver dams create wetlands, which become rich habitat for other wildlife, including many endangered animals. Wildlife at work. Busy beavers have built the world's longest dam, a levee so large it can be seen from space. Found using satellite imagery and Google Earth software, the dam sits on the edge of Wood Buffalo National Park in Alberta, Canada. It's believed several beaver families helped build the 2,790-foot-long dam over 20 years, and it continues to grow. Currently, it's twice as long as Hoover Dam. Of course, it has a big picture of a beaver with his teeth showing and putting those teeth into some wood. Did you know beaver incisor teeth have a hard orange enamel coating that helps them chew wood and bark? In American Indian folklore, the beaver is known for its kindness and wisdom. Get Lost in 2010, part of Wisconsin's largest corn maze, was grown into the shape of the Boy Scouts of America's centennial logo to help celebrate 100 years of scouting. To create the image, paths were cut out of an 8.5-acre field planted with 374,000 stalks of corn. That's 44,000 kernels of corn per acre. Scouts and other visitors explored the maze at Schuster's Playtime Farm in Deerfield from midsummer through October. What's that smell? Last summer, a grocery store in Mooresville, North Carolina, attempted to attract customers with the delicious aroma of grilled steak. The store bought a roadside ad which looked like a giant piece of steak on a fork. A powerful hidden fan blew the smell of grilled beef out toward nearby drivers. The yummy smell came from a special fragrance oil cartridge inside the fan, which was developed by the company Scent Air. Of course, it has a picture, a cartoon picture here of someone driving by, and there's the ad with the smell of steak coming from it. Never, ever believe the weatherman. Mother Nature is full of surprises. Be prepared for all of them with the Zippo Outdoor line. From a hand warmer to an emergency fire starter kit, this rugged, durable line is designed to keep outdoorsmen warm in any conditions that the great outdoors throws their way. All right, how about Ask the Gear Guy? Before you buy Ask the Guy, on outings, I always think of bringing a shirt like those that sailors wear. It's a difficult material to explain. If it gets wet, it evaporates quickly and keeps you cool. Should I use that type of shirt? Here's the answer. The sort of shirt you're talking about sounds like a synthetic base layer or tech tee. It's likely made of nylon, polyester, or spandex from a blend of these fabrics and is designed to be lightweight and move moisture from your body. This process, called wicking, is important so that your body stays dry and cool while you're active and sweating. These shirts are indeed great for outings, especially in warm climates. They're good as a base layer in cold climates, too, since they maintain their insulation when wet. The main downside to synthetic tees, they're not as breathable as cotton shirts, and they tend to hold body odor, so they may stink after a few days of hiking. In the Boy Scout Handbook, you can read up on the different types of fabrics for hiking wear, including synthetic fabrics like these. Stuff we use. Shazam. Free trial, boyslife.org/links/ Shazam. Ever been riding in a car or out to eat and heard a song that you love? And have you ever wanted to know the name of the song and who sings it? Then we have the coolest cell phone appliance to solve your problem. Download Shazam onto a compatible phone and you're ready to roll. Whenever you hear a song you like, cue up Shazam and it'll listen to a few seconds of the song and automatically let you know who sings it, what's it called, and more. Shazam also gives you options for putting the song on your wish list, texting it to a friend who might like it, or even buying the song right then and there. Question. Whenever I go camping, I like to keep a journal of what I see and do. It's cool to go back later and read what I wrote because it reminds me of the fun I have out there. My problem is sometimes it's totally rainy or wet, and my paper gets wet and the ink runs so I can't read anything I wrote. Can you help me? That's from Damp Dennis in Port Angeles, Washington. I have just a thing for you. I like to write in my journal on outdoor trips, too. But one time I accidentally waded into a stream with my notebook in my back pocket and all of the ink ran. I ripped each page out of the pad and laid them around my room to dry out, but it was unreadable. Recently, though, I found this cool waterproof paper company called Write in the Rain. They make all weather pads, paper, and pens for outdoorsmen, military, firefighters, even scuba divers. While it isn't exactly cheap, it totally works. The paper is thick, a little tough to tear, and you can write on it wet with a pencil, even while it's underwater. All right. Boys Life Headliners, page 14, 15. His name is Tony Hansberry II. He was born June 29, 1994. His hometown is Jacksonville, Florida. His scout rank, Life Scout, Troop 175, Jacksonville. He made headlines by discovering a faster way for surgeons to complete minimally invasive procedures, surgeries that use small incisions. The scoop? For his school's 2009 science fair, Tony teamed up with a University of Florida physician to test his hypothesis that there's a faster way for surgeons to suture close-up a procedure. Tony's solution? A machine called the EndoStitch, which is faster and more effective than a conventional needle driver. Calling Dr. Hansberry. Tony wants to become a neurosurgeon after attending the University of Florida. Outside medicine. Archery, fixing up a school's exterior and surrounding neighborhood for his Eagle Scout project. His advice? Anything's possible if you set your mind to it. Don't just sit back. Make it happen. And here's a picture of Tony Hansberry looking at his lab doing some scientific projects. All right, let's find out about Dan Hermsmeyer. He was born September 17, 1991. His hometown, Chesterfield, Missouri. Scout rank, Eagle Scout, Troop 615, Florissant, Missouri. He made headlines as a silver medalist at the 2010 United States Junior Olympics in the 22 small bore rifle category. He also earned a spot on the U.S. National Rifle Team. The scoop. Dan started shooting in 2005 at scout camp. Other interests, camping, skiing, backpacking. The future? Dan majored in engineering at the University of Memphis, where he received a full ride scholarship for shooting and academic excellence. Now an assistant scoutmaster, he hopes to keep working with scouts. I want to stay involved as long as I can because my brother is a Cub Scout now, and it is really cool to see him do all the things he does. Advice. If you really like to do something, don't let something else get in your way. It won't be easy. Don't let other people influence what you want to do if you really want it. All right. Next, we have Michael Grady. He was born May 11, 1999. His hometown, Grosse Pointe Park, Michigan. His scout rank, Boy Scout, Troop 86, Grosse Pointe Park. He made headlines by being honored in 2010 with the AAA Safety Service Life-Saving Award. The scoop? On September 16, 2009, while on school safety patrol duty, Michael noticed a car accelerating as it approached a group of kindergartners crossing the street. He stepped through the group, stretched out his arm in front of them, and prevented them from continuing into the path of the speeding car. His other interests, tennis, swimming, karate, cornet, camping, fishing, and boating. The future, I'd like to be a pilot or veterinarian when I grow up. His advice, respect other people, be patient, and always do your best. Of course, it has a picture here of Michael. Looks like he's serving as a crossing guard here. Next. Devin Dwyer, born October 4th, 1995. His hometown, Northport, New York. Scout rank, Life Scout, Troop 410 in Northport. He made headlines as one of the 10 national finalists of the Discovery Education 3M Young Scientist Challenge, the premier science competition for students in grades 5 through 8. The scoop. Devin created an innovative solution to control the noise from his brother's basement drum playing. He covered the basement ceiling and door with soundproofing made from newspaper stuffs, paper bowls affixed to cardboard sheets. His third round finish earned him $1,000 and a private tour of the National Aquarium. His other interests, filmmaking and soccer. His advice, do your best, never give up. The future, Devin hopes to combine his love of science and film by making nature films. Christopher Bennett. He was born October 3rd, 1992. His hometown is Brunswick, Georgia. Scout rank, Eagle Scout, Troop 224 in Brunswick. Christopher made headlines by achieving Category 3 road racer on the basis of his success in cycling competitions throughout the Southeast. He discovered cycling while pursuing his cycling merit badge and now trains 12 to 15 hours a week. His goal is to be a professional racer and compete in the Tour de France. Brian Brown, born June 2, 1992. Hometown, Dover, Delaware. His scout rank, Eagle Scout, Troop 154, Dover. He made headlines by finishing second in the 100 freestyle and 100 backstroke at the Delaware State Swim Meet to earn high school All-American honors. A four-time team most viable swimmer, he broke five school records and three conference records. He now swims for West Virginia University with an eye on making the Olympic team. Better Tyler Beller Schilling, born April 15, 2001. Hometown, Moscow, Idaho. Scout rank, Wolf Club Scout, PAC 326, Moscow. Made headlines by winning two 2010 Idaho Field Archery Association state indoor titles, an Idaho State Outdoor Field Archery title, and the Chemous Prairie Spring Fling. He took up archery 3 years ago and now can hit a moving 3D deer target from 15 yards with 5 out of 6 arrows. He shoots with a traditional long bow and recurve bow. His goal is a spot on the Olympic team. All right, Go Fish, pages 18 through 21. It has a big picture of two scouts in a boat, like a canoe, and one has caught a fish. The massive network of rivers and lakes near the BSA's Don Roger Canoe Base in Canada is full of challenges for paddlers. There's a current that always seems to be moving against you. There's a breeze that always seems to be blowing against you. And there are the mosquitoes. Don't get us started on the mosquitoes. For the scouts of Troop 222, Westtown, Pennsylvania, all of the challenges they faced on their trip to Atticoam, Ontario, were worth it because the Troop 222 was there for the fishing. Operated by the Northern Tier National High Adventure Bases, the Canadian Fishing Expedition takes Boy Scouts and adventurers into those rivers and lakes for 5 or 6 days of canoeing, camping, and fishing. The fishing was definitely my favorite part, says 13-year-old Star Scout John Falcone, because you don't have to paddle. Master Anglers. Participants in the Canadian fishing expedition stop first at the Don Roggart Base in Enticum for the day of shakedowns and, if necessary, fishing lessons. But in the case of Troop 222, no lessons were needed. These guys know their way around the tackle box. I go fishing a lot, but around Pennsylvania, the fish aren't as big and they don't fight as much, Johnny says. Up there, it's way more exciting. Early on day two, the high adventure began with a float plane ride to the starting point. In this case, the middle of the Sawbill Lake. The ride took about 20 minutes and provided great views in the area in which they would spend the next 5 days. We saw mountains, cliffs, huge lakes, and everything, says John. John's brother Matt, a 16-year-old life scout, it's not all like Pennsylvania. The plane landed right in the middle of the lake, and the scouts went straight into the canoes and started paddling. Minutes later, they pulled out their gear and started fishing. And a few minutes after that, they started catching. Well, we've run out of time for today's reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience and readily available as a podcast. I'm John Ivy. We hope you've enjoyed today's reading. So long, until next time.